Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning.
Songs that bring
Lord today, sing his praises and sing of his goodness. Song that we're going to sing is called Abide With Me, and we sang it at the worship night that we had with Mission Hills a couple of weeks ago, and it was just so powerful to listen to all these people worshiping and singing Abide With Me. And I pray that it is just your prayer this morning to walk with him again and to call out to him to abide with you again.
Have a home, eternal. now I walk this broken world. You walked it first, you know our pain, but you show hope can rise again from the grave. Abide with me. Thank you.
you. We thank you that first and foremost, you call us a son and daughter of you. And that means we don't ever have to be afraid. That you are holding on to us, that you're abiding within us, that you are everything that we need you to be. And we declare this morning that we trust you, that we give everything to you. We walk alongside you and give our life to you. What a wonderful thing that is. What a blessed thing that is, that we get to trust you and walk alongside you. We thank you for worship, for the ability to sing your praises happily and loudly together as the bride of Christ. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said, you may be seated.
New life. Hey, can I have the kids all come down to the front? I've got a story to tell, and then the preschooler is going to continue worship downstairs. The kids in school will head back to your seats. But all the kids, just come on down. In the meantime, as we wait for the kids, during that last song, I heard some anxious clapping. So why don't we just clap? That way we can give praise to God. And we can encourage the kids as well to come on down. And man, good worship. Thank you, team, for leading us in worship. We've sung some amazing words in praise to God, but also in recognition of how we come to this place. Some of us maybe with great excitement, some of us with less excitement, maybe with burdens on our hearts, and so we gather in worship. Hey, I'm going to tell you a story, kids. So, man, we got to redesign this auditorium so you guys can gather around. But in the meantime, can you all hear me? Yeah. So I want to say thank you so much for those of you who drew pictures, right? Anybody recognize their picture up there? Yeah. Yeah, so we're talking about portraits or pictures of Jesus, and some of you drew those pictures, and we put them there, so thank you. That helps us a lot. I do have to say, Wilson, some of you know Wilson. He's our church mouse. He lives downstairs in one of the Little Lights rooms, and he was gallivanting around. And just chasing around the whole, because he discovered that this place is way bigger than his little home in that Little Lights room. And so he was just chasing around, exploring and stuff, got all excited. He thought it'd be a great idea for him to crawl up one of those strings of pictures, and it broke. He broke it. So see over there? See, he broke it. It's on the floor. So Taylor saw him and got him to say, did you do that? And he said, yeah, he did. And he was really sorry, but Taylor and Wilson fixed it, and so we're all good. So look at it. It just looks great. Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking of doing some gallivanting of my own, actually, and I love exploring, and so I've been preparing for a big trip. I am planning on going on a Mediterranean cruise. I think that would be so exciting. The problem is, of course, I've never been on a cruise. So I thought I would get you to help me in terms of thinking, like, I want to be prepared for this trip, but I'm not sure what kinds of things to take along. So I started packing, and so I figured probably need a water bottle, you think? Take a water bottle along because you might run out of water on the ship. I don't know. Like, so I thought a water bottle, flip-flops, right? I mean, it's been winter, so I haven't had a chance to wear flip-flops, but I figured take them along. My wife said I had to take sunscreen.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah,
Yeah, sunscreen. Everybody's telling you, you got to put sunscreen on, right? So I'll take sunscreen. Oh, I've never been on a cruise ship before, but they say there's swimming pools on the cruise, so I'm taking my swim trunks, okay? Is that a good idea? I mean, right? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And, what?
Did you bring food?
No. Food. Do I got to bring food? No? There's restaurants on the ship. Okay. I'll just get food from the restaurants. I got to take a hat. And what? Yeah, I'll take some clothes too. Although, oh, hang on. Oh, it's not supposed to happen in church, but I have a call. I got to take it, okay? Just hang on. All right. Hello? Oh, yeah, no, I'm just telling the kids about this Mediterranean cruise that I want to take. Oh, I can't, no? Oh, Bogota. I got to go on a missions trip to Bogota. So I can't go on the cruise. Okay, well, I got to run. Okay, yeah, see ya, bye. I wasn't prepared for that. I'm so busy preparing for this Mediterranean cruise, but now I'm told I can't do it. I got to prepare for a missions trip to Bogota, Colombia. I'm leaving Thursday already. So, you ever come across that where you're preparing for one thing and then all of a sudden there's a surprise and you got to prepare all over again for something else? Well, the story we're talking about today is about Jesus getting prepared. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's preparing for something that, well, maybe he was expecting it, but it's not a very nice thing. He was preparing to be crucified on the cross, to die on the cross. And he's preparing himself for that. The thing is that he takes his disciples, the people that followed him, the some of his closest friends, he brings them along into that garden to prepare them because they were expecting to follow Jesus along the lines of something like a Mediterranean cruise. They thought this was going to be great. They just follow Jesus forever and things are just going to all turn out great. But Jesus knew that he had to prepare his disciples for this awful event of his crucifixion. So Jesus also wants us to be prepared. So we're in a season in this church called Lent, which isn't this little fuzz stuff that you take out of your pockets. That's called lint. But this is Lent. Lent is 40 days long, and it's a time when we prepare our hearts and our minds for the crucifixion of Jesus, right? When he died on the cross. To think about what does that mean for us? Because Jesus died so that we could live forever with him. So some people say during 40 days of Lent, they don't eat any chocolate. None. For 40 days. That's longer than a month. And then on Easter, guess what? Then they get to eat as much chocolate as they want, right? Yeah. You should probably do that, yeah?
Because I have too much sugar.
You probably do. Yeah. All right. So, but you know, we can use the time also to, like, pray. We can use the time to read the Bible and prepare our hearts, right? For something that's not even very nice, but we can prepare our hearts so that everything that Jesus did for us, including dying on the cross, will count for you and for me. And Jesus then gives us life. All right. Well, so I'm going to pray with you. I want to bless you guys. And then if you're 5 years old, 4 years old, or 3 years old, you're going to follow our Little Lights leaders. And I don't know what the kids call you. You don't know either? Okay. Follow Mrs. Wilson out that door. And if you're in grade school, grade 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you're going to head back upstairs to your mom's and sit with them. And there's activity sheets over there, and you can get that. Hang on. We're going to pray. All right? You got it? All right. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, sometimes we're not prepared for you and for the things that you do in our lives. And so when we're gathered here today, help us so that our hearts can be prepared to receive you, Jesus. And we pray for a blessing on all of these children. Thank you for them. God, thank you that you give us life, that you give us all kinds of opportunities to learn about you and about our world and about each other. And so, God, we pray for a blessing on each child here. And as they continue to worship, God, may all glory be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So if you're 3, 4, or 5 years old, head out that door. And grade 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, if you want an activity sheet, grab one over on the treasure chest. All right? And head on out.
For all the sunlight that we've been getting, so thank you. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here. It's good to see you all. A special welcome to guests that are here for the first time in person or online. We're glad that you're joining us. Our goal here is to help you get connected to the church community. So if this is your first time, we invite you to fill out a Connect card that's found at the seat in front of you. Once you fill it out, bring it out to the info booth that you've seen in the foyer or in the lobby, and you'll get a gift basket that has a New Life tumbler and a bag of coffee. If you're online this morning, we invite you to drop a comment sharing where you are and who you're watching with. Now, I have an announcement. As you may have seen the posters that are posted around the church or may have seen on the Encourager, we have a Share IKEA musical fundraiser. Now, repeat after me. Share IKEA. Share IKEA. Okay, Share IKEA. Can you say that one more time? So for those of you who didn't repeat after me, now have to buy a ticket for this event, okay? So I'm just going to leave that to you and you in between God, because if you didn't repeat after me, okay, that's, you know, be honest, all right? Now, Share IKEA is a Swahili word meaning celebration. It's a night of celebration, music, and culture. We'll be enjoying authentic Congolese food and having a silent auction. Now, what is this event all about? It's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for New Life's refugee sponsorship of the Colombo family. Excuse me. The event starts at 7 p.m. and is open to all ages. Tickets are $20 per person and $15 for youth and children. Tickets can be purchased in the foyer after service today, out in the foyer. As you leave the door, it'll be on your right. Our featured musician for the evening is a nephew of the Colombo family who lives here in Abbotsford. Paul and his music team are excited to worship the Lord and have this Share IKEA with us. We continue our worship with an offering. And our offering today is for the Benevolent Fund. The Benevolent Fund is administered by our deacons, and it's used to support those in our community who need financial or physical support. The fund also helps families with Christian school tuition. So you can give your offering electronically or bring it to one of the offering boxes we have here at the front during the fellowship time. So let's pray for the offering and for the work of our deacons. Father, we thank you that you bless us and you provide for us. We thank you that we can continue to trust in you for our provision, even in the hard times and even in the good times, whether in plenty or in lack, we can still trust in you. We thank you that you're good, and we thank you that you're sovereign. So we, as we worship you with our offering, we pray that you would multiply it and use it for your kingdom. Especially in this benevolent fund, we pray, Lord, that you would use it to further your kingdom amongst, in this community that we're a part of, and also for those who are in need. We also pray for the work of our deacons. Lord, bless the work of their hands as they serve with their hands and feet, being the hands and feet of Christ. We pray that you would bless them, and we pray that you would multiply their work so that your kingdom, once again, is glorified and furthered through their work. We commit this offering, and we commit their work to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every Sunday, we have a fellowship time. There's 3 things you could do. There could be 30 things you could do. There's 3 things you could do during this time. First, you can take this time to pass the peace of Christ to those around you, especially to those that you haven't seen before or those that are new among you, among us. You can also give your offering during this time. So during this time, you can bring your offering down to the offering boxes. And thirdly, Kids Church kids, you can get an activity packet down here to help engage with the sermon during the service. Please return the packet after the service so that we can reuse them again. So we're going to begin our 3-minute timer for the fellowship time. So please use this time to either grab coffee or make sure to bless the peace of Christ to one another. Have a good Sunday.
All right, if you would take a seat, please. Wow, it's amazing what a bit of sunshine from yesterday can do. Makes you more talkative. Yeah. Well, welcome again to New Life. So good to be together. And bless you. Okay, I'm going to let you in on a secret. The craziest thing just happened. So in telling the story to the kids, the backstory is that I had arranged with Janessa to call my phone, because otherwise I usually put it on silent during the service, because it would be kind of embarrassing for somebody to call. So I had it on, and I said to Janessa, after I pull four items out of my bag, call me. And she was going to call me just so it would ring, right? So my phone rang. Janessa just came to me and said, I didn't call you. It was somebody else. Some random call. Perfect timing. Couldn't believe it. All right. Well, I'll get the voicemail later. I'm glad you're here. Let's come together in prayer before we open God's word, right? Let's pray together. We want to continue to pray for Jackson Audette. He had some surgery. We're still hoping that he can improve his own breathing and being able to eat on his own and so on. So he's recently had surgery for that. We're praying that God will just provide health and strength for the little guy. And then also Kevin Pastor went in for emergency surgery this week, and he's recovering, although he's still in ICU, intensive care. But looks like he's going to make it through. And so we want to lift up him in prayer and pray for a blessing on both Kevin and Meredith, his wife. All right? So those things, let's come together in prayer. God, you are a gracious God. You show your love and your compassion. You show your mercy upon us. You show your kindness. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, aware that for some of us, it's been hard to see your presence in our lives. And sometimes it's been a struggle. Sometimes we've simply walked away from you or ignored you. Sometimes it feels like you have walked away from us. And so, God, thank you for this time together that we can experience your presence, your love. We submit to you, Father, that you'll continue to bless little Jackson Audette. We pray for health and strength for him. We pray that you'll surround him and his parents, God. Place blessing upon their lives, we pray. And we pray, too, for Kevin, that you will provide healing for him, that you will give him health and strength. We pray, Father, for blessing upon him and his wife, Meredith. God, show your presence for them. Thank you for their trust in you as well. God, there are others, perhaps right here, who sit here and are in search of you, God, because of circumstances in their life, because of struggles or conflict and difficulty. God, we raise it all up to you. We pray that through the hardship of our life, that we may experience your presence, that you will make yourself known to us, that you will keep our faith and our hope sure and strong, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I made reference to these pictures. We're talking about portraits of Jesus. And portraits of Jesus are important for us to be able to see Jesus, to be able to be drawn into these portraits, these stories of Jesus, in order to really experience them so that we can say we know Jesus by experience, by being drawn into the story, so that as we live the story of our lives, that these stories of Jesus become our story. And that's what we're aiming for today as well, to be moved by the story that we're going to look like, so that it comes alive for us, so that it's not just out there, something that we affirm or assent to or say, oh, yeah, I think that happened, and yeah, sure, but that it becomes a part of our lives, a very part of our lives. So let's be drawn into this story. I referenced it earlier. It's the story of Jesus in Gethsemane. Here it is in Matthew 26. We've been taking a look at the different pictures that Matthew paints for us, and he means for us to be drawn into these stories. Otherwise, the gospel writers, they would have simply written like some kind of creedal statement or just some system of doctrines. You got to believe this, you got to believe that, you got to believe this, you got to believe that. No, they wrote a story so that we could be drawn into it and that it becomes real for us. Listen to the word of the Lord. Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." So notice the contrast. Sit here, I'm going to go over there. So there's already a separation taking place. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. Peter, James, and John. Our very first message that we preached in this series on portraits of Jesus was Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Guess who he had with him? Peter, James, and John. Same three people. All right? They experienced back then at that Mountain of Transfiguration the absolute glory of Jesus. So Jesus takes with them Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. So the opposite of that glorious experience, this is a little bit darker. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That's a pretty anguished prayer to pray. Then he returned to his disciples. Remember, his closest friends who experienced Jesus in all of his glory. He returns to them and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time. So now he's all alone, saying the same thing, praying the same anguished prayer. And then he returned to the disciples, and then he said to them, I imagine with a deep breath, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." It's kind of a tough story to read. But it's Matthew's invitation to us, an invitation to you and to me today, an invitation to join in on the journey of Jesus' suffering. an invitation into somebody else's suffering. So I imagine John, the apostle, the one who is called Jesus' beloved. We would probably just say Jesus' best friend, his best buddy. I imagine John following Jesus into this Garden of Gethsemane. It's actually just a grove of trees, olive trees, and he follows him in, and he's just watching. It's dark. They've just had the Last Supper. They're quite aware that something awful is going to happen, but they're still hoping against hope that maybe it'll all just go away or something. And so there's John, trailing behind Jesus, watching with fright, and just kind of holding back, waiting, hoping for the best, but not even wanting to be there because, well, every indication seems to point to that this could well be the end of whatever John was hoping for. And so the whole time, not only is he watching and waiting, but he's wincing under the burden of his own guilt, especially when Jesus comes the first time, and then a second time, and then a third time, and they've only managed to nod off. Man, it's late. They had a hard day, and they fell asleep. And this is how Jesus invites us into his own suffering. To be able to live into the story of Jesus' immense burden, carrying the weight of the world's sin, because that is why he goes to the cross. To take on all of the sin and the brokenness, all of the misery, all of the shame of the world, all of its guilt, to take it upon himself. Jesus is burdened. And though he is alone, he takes it on. And he invites us into that, of all things. So here again, this isn't just some abstract principle of Jesus over 2,000 years ago going to a cross and dying and us just with our hands folded going, wow, that must have been quite something. This is Jesus drawing us into that journey of suffering that he himself experiences, not because we can take on the burden of sin and shame in this world. Only Jesus can do that. I mean, the contrast that Matthew sets up here makes that inescapable, that Jesus is alone. He is the only one who goes over there. He is the only one who prays a desperate prayer while the disciples can only manage to nod off. And Jesus is the only one who sweats blood, as the other gospel writers mention, because he's so full of anguish. Jesus is the one who is in the dark. And the disciples, they're just staring into the night, falling asleep. None are able to pray. None are able to endure. None are able to bear up under the heavy load that Jesus carries that night. Jesus ends up alone. Indeed, Matthew's saying, come on into this experience of Jesus' suffering because it's for your sake. Jesus is the only Savior. No one else can endure the suffering that Jesus endured. No one else can bear the suffering of the world except for the world's Savior. And yet Jesus invites them to pray with him, to pray for him. Surely not just to teach them something, not just to say, hey guys, just remember, when you go through hard times, be like me and pray hard. If that was the lesson, the disciples didn't learn it at all. It's not just that lesson, a good lesson nevertheless, perhaps, but it's an invitation into Jesus' own suffering. He invites them into the garden. We're meant to think of a garden? I've heard about a garden before. Way back in the beginning of the Bible, there was the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was that place of paradise where everything was provided, where the presence of God was palpable. It was right there. And now Jesus enters another garden. But in this garden, there is an olive grove, and it's called Gethsemane, which means an olive press. And that press becomes the object lesson for what is happening here in this story. Jesus is being pressed down with the burden of the world's misery. And the result is oil that is anointed upon the world with redemption and holiness through the suffering of Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, just like a priest would be anointed. And so along with the disciples, Matthew, in telling this story, invites us into that suffering of Jesus. Read the story as if you were there. And then we're compelled to enter into this journey with Jesus, who took the journey for your sake and mine. That's what the Lenten season is all about. To stop in the middle of our lives, to be invited into this journey of suffering, to recognize the burden of the world's brokenness and see that Christ carries it all and all alone. And yet we're invited into this very scenario, to experience, to participate in it, to make it count for us. What do you make of that invitation? Why would you accept such an invitation? Why? Why would you willingly go follow Jesus into that road of suffering? Why not just get on with living? That is generally the popular view. Focus on the good things. Just be positive. Pursue your own dreams. Never mind the stuff that drags you down. Play to your strengths. Why would you be invited into weakness? Why would you accept that invitation? Well, I can think of several reasons from this passage. One is that following the whole story of Scripture, suffering is simply the way of redemption. It is. Suffering is the way of redemption. Going through the struggle, through the pain, through the hardship is the way of redemption. When Adam and Eve fell into sin in that Garden of Eden, in paradise, then God came to them and he cast them out of paradise. We would say, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't cast them out of paradise. That seems like a punishment to us, an unbearable punishment. But it's the beginning of God redeeming his people, redeeming the world. Otherwise, they would stay in paradise and be in misery forever. And then when Jesus gathers his own people, the people of Israel, and he gathers them and frees them from a life of slavery in Egypt, which is the analogy for our own enslavement to sin. When God frees them from slavery, he sends them to what's the promised land, a land filled with milk and honey. But how do they get there? They have to travel through the wilderness. And the people of Israel say, God, you've abandoned us. You tricked us. Why are we going through this wilderness? And God says, because that's the way of redemption. Following Jesus, you see, isn't about instant success. Following Jesus isn't even about achieving the good life. Good discipleship, Scripture says, is about taking up your cross and following Jesus. It's the way that Paul describes in Philippians chapter 3. I want you to take a look at this passage. Very strange passage. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Well, we could all assent to that. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm about to. I want to know Christ. So Paul says, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, we would say, oh, yeah, I can't wait for Easter. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. What? That's the invitation that Matthew's extending to us as well. To participate in Jesus' sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, and here Paul says, I don't even know what I'm talking about. He says, and so somehow, I don't understand it all, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. The way of redemption is through the wilderness. Life is hard. Yes, it's hard. But it's the way through to the promised land. So why would we accept Jesus' invitation into suffering? Well, not only because it's the way of redemption, but also because it's the path of healing for our own pain and hardship. See, here's the curious thing about this passage is that why Jesus just had this wonderful Last Supper with his disciples, and he had told them, look, this is it. I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be cast into the hands of soldiers, and there I'm going to be crucified. Wouldn't it have been better, certainly, at least in my mind, more common sense to go, okay, I got to watch out for these weakling disciples. And, you know, their faith is there, but it's not terribly strong. I need to protect them. So I'm going to send them off on a retreat while I go through this terrible thing all alone. And I'll send them on a retreat. That way, you know, things can stay calm and just bless them. In fact, even if you think about it, when Jesus is hanging there on the cross, as the gospel writers tell us, his own mother is standing right in front of that cross. Shouldn't Jesus have protected his own mother from this horror of being crucified? But Jesus doesn't do that. He has the people most precious to him close to his side, even in this despicable circumstance. Because the healing of our pain, the healing of our brokenness, is not from escaping it. God's salvation isn't about protecting us from all of the hardship of our world, but from drawing us close to the only one who can fully carry the burden of our sin and our misery. So even in a psalm like Psalm 71, which I've been paying close attention to because I have an aging father, 95 years old, and I came across this psalm where it says, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Sometimes getting old feels like that. It feels like you become helpless and all of the bad forces of nature are after you. And then where is God? And the comfort is not to escape that misery. We can't simply step out of that. The comfort is this, though. The psalm continues. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. In some sense, never mind them. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Those are big words to utter. Those are big words to say. As for me, I will always have hope through the wilderness. And so entering into this suffering with Jesus not only is the way of redemption, but it's the path of healing for our own pain. Not simply to take it away. Not simply to take away the struggles. But in the midst of them, to experience the presence of God and the assurance that he will never forsake us. That he will always embrace us with his love and the power of his redemption. But it's also then the way of discovering God's presence. A presence that sometimes appears to be hidden. And even the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 15, says exactly that. God, your presence is hidden. Indeed, sometimes it feels like God isn't there. And sometimes we cannot see God's presence, and yet he is there. See, back to the story here in Gethsemane, Jesus prays, God, please remove this cup from me if it is your will. Did Jesus really expect God to remove that cup? As if in simply an exchange of words, he could convince God otherwise? And on top of that, did he really expect his disciples to get rid of that cup because they prayed as well? As if, hey, just heap on more prayer and, you know, maybe it'll turn out okay. Now, I think even more than simply praying in hopes that circumstances would change, they prayed in order to see the presence of God. And though God's presence was hidden in the pain, in the anguish, in the suffering, yet Jesus endured, and redemption was accomplished. And in our own lives, too. It's in the trials, it's in the hardships of life that, yes, we may well doubt God's presence. We may feel like God has forsaken us. We could even get mad at God for hiding himself, for not being there. Martin Luther, 16th century theologian and reformer, said that when you're mad at God, that's okay, because that's when you're the closest to him. When you're angry with God, that's when you're the closest. See, God's presence is perhaps especially, though hidden, especially in the darkest hour. That's when God's presence is the most precious. That's why the disciples had to pray. So the question then left for us in accepting Matthew's invitation to enter into Jesus' own suffering is, how do you want to live your life? How do you want to live your life in a world filled with brokenness, in a world where wherever you look, you see misery, in a world where whatever you experience, no matter how hard you try to escape it, there's hardship and trial in it. And you're like, not this again. How do you want to live your life? Do you want to just keep running from the suffering? Or maybe just turning a blind eye to other people's suffering to make it go away? Do you live your life always in pursuit of the next big thrill? Just so that you can say, I'm living it up. Or can you enter into the pain and the brokenness of life? Real life. Life as we experience it for every one of us here on earth in the midst of the brokenness and the misery, the shame, the guilt, the sin. And to enter into that, not because you like pain, but because you're confident that Jesus is with you in the midst of it, and through Jesus, all of that pain, all of that hardship is redeemed, is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, made holy once again. Because Jesus has conquered suffering. Yes, even death itself. He has saved you from misery and condemnation. He has saved whoever you are with in suffering. You don't have to save them. Just be with them. Enter into their suffering. Enter into their hardship. Sit with them in the misery. Because there, though perhaps even hidden, is where God is present. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. May that be our prayer as we carry on in this Lent season. Let's pray together. Almighty God, this morning we pray for courage and for that little mustard seed of faith to accept your invitation to enter into that suffering, your own suffering, the suffering of all the world, not because we can carry it, but because you have already carried it. And so, God, open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, and our very eyes to see redemption happening in this world, even when we look at the misery, even when we're frightened by the tragedy and the violence and the wars that go on. God, equip us to dare to enter alongside of those whose life is broken so that we can reveal your presence even in the midst of that, so that we can draw your Spirit into those places and let the transforming power of your Spirit, God, redeem all of the brokenness and the sin in this world. And then, God, as we go through life, help us not to be distracted by the moments of pleasure or the attractions of things that thrill us. Keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. And may our own lives then be transformed so that we can be a testimony of your grace, your love, your mercy, and your salvation in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.
Save your name to wash our feet.
Well, look, you guys, that's a heavy sermon for me. And I suspect by judging the silence and just the feeling around here was heavy for you too. But we just sang amazing, joyful words. Jesus' resurrection resurrects you and me. But you have to accept the invitation to enter into his suffering. And for that, you need God's grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and always. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You're dismissed.